No lie, pretty wacky Friday, right? Welcome back, or good afternoon, or good morning. Just all depends where you are. I am Jim Rome, live in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently, Quicken Loans. Busy, busy third hour. I don't want to waste any time on this. Coming up, I've got Bud Black. That is next segment. But as promised, we start this third hour with the manager of the L.A. Dodgers. He's entering his third season with the Dodgers. He led them to the World Series last season. He was your 2016 NL Manager of the Year. He was a World Series champion as a player. The Dodgers won 104 games in the regular season last year, and they open up this season against San Francisco March 29th. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts is my guest. Dave, it's so great to have you back on. How are you, Dave?
Romy, what's happening, my friend?
My man. What's up, Dave? How are things? How are you?
Dude, I'm out here at Glendale, Camelback Ranch, just got off the field, perfect weather. We got baseball, we got guys working extra. It's a lot of good energy, got Dodger fans everywhere. It's great.
Boy, that's the best. You know, I remember, Dave, when you first came on after you got that job, and we talked about all the history associated with the gig, and now you're entering your third season as the team's manager, and you've had amazingly successful seasons already. So does it feel real now? Has it all sunk in, or is there still a little bit of it that seems surreal, like I can't believe that I am living this dream?
It definitely feels like I can't believe it. I'm living this dream, and I feel that every single day. And, Romy, you and I talked about that when I got this job. But I am in a place where now every single day things are sort of in place as far as the guys we have, what expectations from me and the coaching staff, learning the players more as I have the last few years. So it's kind of business as usual, putting your head down and trying to get better each day.
We're talking to Dave Roberts. Now, Dave, your roster is loaded, and you've got lots of different pieces that you can use. It's obviously a good problem to have, but how do you make sure that everybody is willing and able to sacrifice for the greater good of the team?
That's the biggest challenge, and everyone always asks me, what's the hardest part of my job? And, Roman, when you got a lot of players, and you got a lot of good players that obviously everyone wants to play, get opportunities, get innings, and to get the buy-in from every guy, I think that's the biggest part is to staying connected to the player and understanding that for the greater good, everyone's got to play. And I think it has helped, though. If you look at the last couple years, we've won more games than anybody in all of baseball. So, and guys are getting opportunities, and teams want winning players. So we got a lot of winners here.
Los Angeles Dodgers manager Dave Roberts, my guest. Now, it was announced a few weeks back that Chase Utley is going to have a contract this season. So what's it mean to you as a manager to have a guy like that, and not just from the standpoint where you can use him in the lineup and bring him off the bench, but to have him in the clubhouse and help enforce that culture?
Romy, this dude is a savage, and I played against him as a player. He's a Bruin as I am, and really have got a chance to know Chase and learn him the last couple of years. And he's a guy that you pinch hit for him, he gets it, he doesn't complain. He's rooting his teammates on. He's looking for pitchers' tells to help our guys out. He leads by example. He has conversations. He's kind of like E.F. Hutton. You know, when he talks, everyone listens. And that includes myself and the coaches. But to have him be an extension of me, to get him back to kind of help Corey Seager, Cody Bellinger, JT, Kenley Jansen. I mean, this guy, Clayton Kershaw, this guy really is, along with JT, the glue of this club.
You know, when you mention some of these guys, then you got a guy like Chris Taylor, and you look at the postseason run, Dave, it was amazing to see him step up the way he did and deliver in critical moments time and time again. When you've got a player like Taylor doing that on the biggest stage, what's that do for his confidence, and then how much does that set him up for this season?
Romy, it's real, and people kind of ask, is there going to be a sophomore slump with Taylor? And this guy, mechanically, mentally, he's a baseball player. He's tough, and he's sound, and I think that he really gathers information. He sees the ball out of the hand really well. He's versatile. We have him obviously a lot in center field, but he can play short. He can play second. He can play third. I have him at the top of the order. This guy gets on base. He slugs. And have a guy like that with tremendous upside, I can't say enough about the front office and acquiring this guy.
God, especially that versatility, too. And then when you talk about upside, what about Cody Bellinger? I mean, he's coming off a rookie year. He hit nearly 270, 39 home runs, nearly 100 runs batted in. What do you make of the way he handled that success as a young player? And then, Dave, what's a reasonable expectation for him this year?
You know what? I think that there's no reason why he can't do what he did last year and obviously and potentially surpass it. But I think Cody, you know, he's got great bloodlines with his father, Clay. He's won the World Series a couple times, former big leaguer. And he's just a tough kid. And I think that he does a great job of really getting in the moment, not, you know, the postseason or the World Series. there's no carryover from that where he got exploited a little bit. You know, he made adjustments physically, mentally in his approach and his plan. And this kid, yeah, he's another versatile player, but he's one of those guys that we're counting on. But sky's the limit for Cody.
We're talking Dodgers baseball manager Dave Roberts, my guest. You mentioned Clayton Kershaw. He is set to start opening day for the 8th time in his career, which is a team record. You've been around him a couple of years now. What do you know about him maybe or appreciate about him now that you didn't know when you first arrived?
I think you and I have talked about this before in one sense, is that I just really didn't know that everything he does is with a purpose as far as on the days that he doesn't pitch. You know, I think that we can all talk about every start that he makes, the 30, 32 starts that he makes every single year. But the work that he puts in the weight room, in the bullpen, it's unbelievable the conviction he has with every single throw that he makes. And when you get Rich Hill, who hasn't seen guy like that work, or Alex Wood, Julio Urias, and even Kenley. Kenley's grown, Romy, exponentially from being around Clayton. And that kind of killer mentality that Clayton has. But I think the thing that really resonates with me, or is really hard to believe, is every single time he steps on the field, he's the best player. And what it means for him to be able to rise to that occasion where that pitcher opposing end is going to give everything he has because he's facing the best. And Clayton rises to the occasion every single time.
Yeah, Dave, I wonder, when you have a work ethic like that, an approach like that, a regimen like that, you know, it's obviously going to impact the other pitchers who watch him work and prepare. But, and although it's a different job altogether, does it also resonate with the other guys in that clubhouse when they see the way he goes about his work?
It does. And Romy, we have 26 guys that are new to this spring training that weren't with us last spring or didn't play to have any service with the Dodgers last year. So half of the group in spring training is new. But for these guys to see Clayton Kershaw, where Scott Alexander we acquired from Kansas City, or Tom Kohler we got from Toronto, and they see this guy work, it's eye-opening to see veteran players hear from them and how this guy works. It definitely raised the bar for everybody.
Yeah, but then again, Dave, how many guys do you really have? I know camp has been hit by a virus this week, and you had more than a dozen guys out, which was an improvement over Wednesday when it was more like two dozen. What's it like running that camp with everybody battling a virus, and are you dealing with it?
Dude, Romy, it's unbelievable, man. And, okay, I'm not dealing with it, fortunately. So
not yet, Skip.
I'm doing a lot of fist bumps. But I'll tell you right now, there was like 24 guys that were out, man. And I don't know what was the culprit, but it's funny, though. Andrew Toles, who we all know and love, I guess his best piece of advice was just don't bunk with dudes and you'll be fine. So so I guess that's the remedy, man. Don't bunk with dudes, man. So it was funny, but we're kind of on the other side right now, Romy, and we'll be all right.
Dave Roberts joining us. All right, Yasiel Puig had a very good 2017. He was a force in the postseason too. So for him, what was the biggest difference in his play from 2016 to last season?
I think the difference for Yasiel is obviously it's well documented his relationship with Turner Ward, our hitting coach. But if you look at the mechanics side of things or the approach, him not really panicking or committing so much to the ball on the inner half of the plate, looking out over, because he's a guy who can slug any part of the field. And I think just the consistency on and focus on every single pitch. I think Yasiel's a guy that a lot of players, Romy, like the limelight and like the spotlight, the big stage. And we saw that in the postseason where Yasiel was amazing. But I think for me, the whole body of work for 160 games, this guy came focused every single night to help us win baseball games. And you look at the byproduct of that, he had a heck of a year.
Hey, Dave, last thought, and you've been great. So good to have you back. I know you're looking ahead, but if you were to look back at last season and that amazing run of the World Series and Game 7, do you find yourself thinking about that at all? And if you do, what resonates the most? What do you think about the most?
You know, I just wish we could have – I wish we had a chance I wish we would have played better. And I think that there's talk, Romy, of should we have let Clayton start on 2 days, which he's never done. Should we have let Alex Wood start on 3 days rest, which he had never done. We acquired Yu Darvish at the deadline. He had one bad outing in the postseason, which was in the World Series, and so on regular rest. So I don't rethink that. I just wish that we would have played better and given our fans that championship that they deserve.
So you'll get a shot once again coming up this season, and it all starts on March 29th against San Francisco. Dave Roberts, the 2016 NL Manager of the Year. David, it's great to have you back. Always good to talk baseball with you. Thanks for taking the time, and I will look forward to doing it again soon.
Romy, you're the man. Tell Blackie I said hello.
You got it. He's coming up next. I'll be sure to tell him that. That is Dave Roberts, manager of the LA Dodgers, and we have the manager of the Colorado Rockies coming up next, and that's Bud Black. So far, so good. Appreciate that. Skip, back-to-back managers to start hour number three. Before I go to break, I've got a tweet from Phil in Missouri. He starts this third hour, at least in the way of Twitter, by saying, "Damn, Rome." Just because OJ is a topic today does not mean you have to commit double murder on Alvin DeLauro and Adam Hawk. Nobody got murdered here, Phil. I'm just trying to keep my guys straight. If I don't keep my guys straight, like if I don't keep you clones straight, who will? It's my job to keep everybody straight. It's my job to remind Alvin that he doesn't need to eat during the show.
Dude,
eat before the show or eat after the show. Dude, it was three peanuts. You eat peanuts. I mean, dude, if you're going to eat, eat. Dude, they're not even peanuts. They're almonds. Technically, they're almonds. Are they almonds or are they peanuts, Alvin? Or are they pistachios? Or are they walnuts? What kind of a nut was it, Alvin? Were they macadamia nuts? Dude, you want to get smart with me? They were assorted. Oh, so one almond, one peanut, and one macadamia nut. Yeah. Oh, I get it. Assorted. Oh, okay, then it's fine. As long as they're assorted, it's fine. And as far as Hawk, I'm just trying to school him up, trying to coach him up. Again, if this guy is the arbiter, if this guy's the gatekeeper, if the calls need to get through him to get to me, I need to make sure that he's asking you the right types of questions to screen out some of these knuckleheads. That's all. Nobody got murdered. Nobody even got hurt. It's just business as usual. They're sitting in the front row. If they want to keep their seats in the front row, business is business. If you want to keep that seat in the front row, you need to maintain a certain level of productivity. That's all I'm saying. Everything's good here. When we come back, Bud Black joins us. After we're done with Bud Black, the week that was, Alvin's. Alvin's weekly piece of greatness, Masterpiece Theater. 4 minutes of genius is coming up. Dude, it's actually 5 minutes. Assorted nuts in 5 minutes, Van Smack. Fine. 5 minutes. 5 minutes of greatness. Alvin, hold up. That reminds me of a time where I interviewed Adam Sandler, and I said, "Hey, Adam, you make $10 million a movie." He goes, "Actually, Jim, it's 15.
Man, flashback. The Yankees, what do you think about that, Jim?
They're dead. They're done.
What do you mean they're dead? It's 9 now.
These guys are probably like, "Damn, I just hit the $15 million guy." But at the same time, as that guy, you want your movie to work, and for it to work, these scenes got to be realistic.
Well, Jim, first of all, it's $25
million. My bad. Not 15, 25. That's so great. When's the last time somebody ever corrected you for saying you didn't give me enough credit for how much money I make? I mean, I try to ask them like a serious question. Dude, I mean, I understand you make $15 million a movie, but you want it to be a good movie. First of all, Jim, it's $25 million a movie. That was awesome. All right. Sorry, Alvin. 5 minutes of greatness. Now, can you imagine taking a car?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You know me, literally, I can't play favorites. Cannot play favorites. I have to remain objective and impartial. But I'm here to tell you, these are not only two of the best guys ever, two of the best managers in the game, and they're back-to-back. We just had L.A. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts, and we now have the manager of the Colorado Rockies. He is in his second season with the Rockies. He had a great first year, led them to a 12-win improvement and a trip to the postseason in that first year. They were 87-75 last season. They opened up against Arizona on March 29th. Bud Black is my guest. Bud, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
I'm well, Jim. Great to hear your voice.
Bud, great to hear your voice, and Dave Roberts wanted to make sure that I said hello to you from him, so he sends his best.
Likewise. Dave and I had a bite to eat last week together. We became fast friends when he joined the Padres. You know, he was my one of my coaches for 5 years. You're right, man. Hey, what a wonderful guy, man. The only thing, he's in our division. We have to battle all year, but, you know, when that last out is made at the end of the season, we get a little tighter again, so it's good stuff.
I see you working. That is a tough, tough division, a nasty division, which looks even tougher this year. You know, Bud, you're coming off a season where the team took a big step forward. So how different does this year's camp feel compared to last year, now that you've got a year with this group under your belt?
Yeah, quite a bit different. You're right. I think last year, you know, coming in new, not knowing a lot of the guys personally, knowing them from the other side, watching them play, you know, my message to them was, you know, to believe that they're a good team. Because I, you know, I saw it from the other side, especially the position player group. And, you know, and then after I got to know the pitching staff, you know, I really felt we, you know, we're in a pretty good spot, to contend. And, and that's how it played out. So this year, a little bit more focus on where we are as a team and what we got to do to make that next step to, you know, to climb that ladder a little farther. But, you know, you're on the job, things seem to, you know, level out a little bit and your focus has sort of changed. But, you know, I really like where we are right now. So hopefully we can continue through this spring. And when it starts here in late March, we'll be ready for the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, the Giants, the Pods in our division, and anybody else who, you know, comes our way. But you're right, it's going to be a tough challenge for the National League West.
Rockies manager Bud Black, my guest. But one thought about taking that job, because when it came open, of course, there was all that noise once again about how it's just too hard to win there because of the altitude, because of how tough that division is. And yet you come in and you reach the postseason in your first year. Is there any part, you're not this guy, Bud, but is there any part of you that wants to say, where are all of you now? Do you have anything you want to say to us now?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, no. The thing that I try to get across to the group and even to, you know, the media, the national media, is that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, whether they're 81 games in Coors or whether we're on the road, and somebody's going to win that game. And my message is, hey, why don't we win it? Why don't we win, you know, why don't we win most of them? You know, let's win these games in our park. Let's win games on the road. It doesn't matter where we play. You know, there is a little, there's obviously altitude. There's a physical component that we got to combat a little bit. There's a, you know, psychological battle within the pitching staff we have to contend with, but I think we're past those hurdles with, you know, some of the, you know, some of our direction on how we develop pitchers, how we trade for pitchers, the type of pitcher we're looking for. So, you know, some of those mental things that, you know, people talk about, I think we're past that. So, you know, we just know that if we play good baseball with our group, we can play with anybody.
We're talking to Bud Black. You know, Bud, let me ask you about Nolan Arenado for a minute. God, I love this guy. It's a huge Nolan Arenado house. But as much love and attention as he gets, I'm not sure he gets enough. Now, you and I talked about him in the past, but now that you've had a full season with him, what do you make of him as a player and where he is right now in his career?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad they're starting to a little bit of momentum on the, you know, on the national recognition. You know, I think that, you know, I'm talking to more, you know, national writers about Nolan. You know, Tyler Kepner was just in here yesterday from the New York Times. There's been some back east writers, you know, talking about Nolan. You know, the Gold Glove, the Silver Slugger, the MVP voting. Man, he's getting out there, which is a, you know, much deserved. But, you know, getting to know him like I have here the last, you know, 18 months, you know, what a player. This guy's passionate about the game. He loves to work. And I think his biggest joy is, you know, when he gets to the clubhouse, you know, walks through those doors, you know, and puts the baseball uniform on, man. He just loves it. And everything that goes along with, you know, that day from, you know, 2 o'clock until the end of the game, you know, it's baseball, man. He consumes it. And it's really, it's infectious on the other guys. But this guy truly loves to play. He's gifted on defense. He's really made himself into a really good all-around hitter, you know, hit for average, hit for power, knock-in runs. You know, he's a special player. We're watching a player right now with, you know, all the other great players, the, you know, the Machados, the Bryants, the Harpers, the Trouts. You know, Nolan's is in that conversation with these fellas.
We're talking to Buddy Black for a few more moments. He's joining us. But I got to ask you about Charlie Blackmon and what you do with him, because he's coming off that monster year where he won the batting title. He hit .331. He hit 37 home runs, and he had a major league record, 102 runs batted in as a leadoff hitter. I mean, it's amazing to have that kind of productivity at the top of the lineup, but I know you've thought about possibly moving him down. How do you go about making that decision, and then what's the determining factor?
Well, you're right. We've talked about it. You know, it's going to depend a little bit on the, you know, the roster construction here at the end of spring training, you know, who makes our club. But, you know, it might suit us best to have him and Nolan right there, you know, possibly 3-4. You know, I think Charlie has proven that, you know, with his power, his ability to knock in runs, you know, he might be more productive for us right there in the three hole. You know, we've talked about it. You know, Charlie gets it. He understands where he is in his career. You know, I think the lineup that the Rockies had, the last number of years, you know, it's sort of set up for Charlie at the top. When you think about Cargo, you think about Mark Reynolds, Nolan, LeMayu is a, you know, really solid number two hitter. So it just made sense to get Charlie there with his on-base skill, and he's dangerous leading off the game. And the lineup worked a little bit better, and he got the extra at bats as the season rolls along. You know, that spot got, you know, the most at bats. So now it might be a little bit different with who makes our club. But Charlie gets it, he understands, and he's on board for sure. And again, I think where he is now with the power and the RBI potential could be a good fit for him.
But before you go, and I know you have a meeting you have to hit, I do want to ask you about Kevin Towers, because when, you know, most people know you and I go way back, and I think about when I got my start in San Diego, Kevin Towers would come on, and he passed away, and his memorial was recently. I know he meant a great deal to you. Can you share your thoughts? What was Kevin like as a guy and a baseball man to you?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be in this chair right now if it wasn't for Kevin believing in me as a manager. And, you know, once I got to know Kevin, you know, day in, day out, we had crossed paths before, you know, in the game. But, you know, when you work with somebody as closely as that relationship is between the manager and the general manager, you know, you truly get to know a fella. And, you know, Kevin was, for me, just all encompassing, a great baseball mind, fun, competitive, loyal. I mean, all the adjectives that you might have read through some of these articles during his service last week, you know, just rang true. I mean, he was just, you know, he's a man's man. He's a great guy. It didn't matter where you fell on the totem pole. You know, he was everybody's friend. He's going to be missed because he touched so many people. He just had that rare skill where, you know, he could interact with owners. And he can interact with clubbies. He could interact with the maitre d' at the restaurant. You name it, man. He had a great skill for people, and that was reciprocated by those people who knew him. It went both ways. So he's going to be missed, Jim. He's a classic. He's a good one.
He was a dude. Man, he was a dude. He had a lot of it. He was so great. He was so fun, even as a media guy. But I know exactly what you're talking about. I love talking to KT, and I'm glad I could get your thoughts on that. Colorado coming off a big first year under Buddy Black, and they're getting ready for another year to start on March 29th, I should say. Bud, I know you got to go. It's so good to have you back. Thanks for your thoughts on Kevin and on your team, and I hope we can do it again soon.
Jim, I'm here. I'm always proud to be on the show with you. What you've meant for talk radio over the years. And saw you from the start, man. It's cool. It's good stuff. So nice going. We'll talk.
Bud, you're the best. I appreciate you so much, Bud. Thanks for saying that. And it's always great to have you on this show. Bud Black, manager of the Rockies. My man. Did I or did I not say those are two of the best guys and two of the best managers that you will ever see back-to-back in hour number three? Dave Roberts right into Bud Black. And, Bud, sincerely, I appreciate you. He's always been available to the program, has always done the show. Dave Roberts, too. All right, we're down to our last segment. See what happens when I block you clones out and I bring in quality people, class people, best at what they do. All of a sudden, the show just levels out. Now it's smart. Now it's sharp. Everything's good. In the meantime, I will give you one more chance to end the week on a big note. In the meantime, you want to remember O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. God, it's so good to do this thing as long as I've done that and have a guy like that show up and do an interview like that. Love it. This is why I'm not going anywhere, clones. This is why I'm not going anywhere. I've worked hard for relationships like that. And when you can get guys like that to come on and talk, that's awesome. Time now for a sports update. Here is the bottom of the hour latest for you. You know, there's something else that goes on with the simulcast that I should reference. The TV guys in New York bump in your tweets
and they're produced, so they show up on TV. And these are not tweets that I have selected. They're doing this on their own. They've gone rogue. The TV guys have gone rogue. So another way for your content to get out there without my even knowing it. So keep that in mind. Another reason to hit me up on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Tweet directly at Jim Rome. Because even if I don't read it, it may still get on the show. It might still be on TV. My thanks to Bud Black. I got to tell you, the NL West is an unbelievable jungle division. Dave Roberts, Bud Black, Torrey Lovello, Bruce Bochy. The Padres were a good jungle team. That might be the greatest jungle division in any sport ever. Those guys are just tremendous for us. Also, notes from the combine very quickly. Saquon Barkley is tearing it up. He's lit that place on fire. He ran a 4.41 unofficially at the combine. That happened this morning. A 4.41. A 4.41 at 233 pounds. This dude's 233 and ran a 4.41. That was after jumping 41 inches in his vert. A 41-inch vert. And he did 29 reps on the bench. The average offensive lineman yesterday put it up 27 times. That's a running back who just put it up 29 times. If there had been a squat rack there, he probably would have hopped in and repped out 600. This guy is a freak show. Yeah, and I know. Running backs do not have the kind of value that they used to have. You can get a great running back later in the draft. Fair enough. Alvin Kamara, Kareem Hunt. I mean, two great young running backs in the third round. I get that. I understand that. If you want to wait and take your chances that Saquon Barkley might be available lower, I'm not. This guy's a first-round pick, a high first-round pick all day long, obviously. And he only reaffirmed that. Not that I need to see this at the Combine, at the Underwear Olympics, but what a freak show. A 4.41, and he put up 29 reps on the bench at 233. Good dude. Absolutely incredible showing. Cleveland's got two of the first four picks. I'm not saying you burn one of those on him in the first four, but maybe you do. Maybe you do. We know they're taking a quarterback. They've got to. It's who they are. It's what they do. And they need a quarterback. But Saquon Barkley, obviously, lighting that place on fire. Helping himself. Some guys hurt themselves. He's not. Time to answer your question. The ATP, the Ask the Pros, where you submit a question to me and then I answer it. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Let's see. Rex in the ABQ. I'm not sure I've ever seen Rex in the ABQ in the ATP. This should be pretty interesting. Jim. How many cell phones do you have in your junk drawer at home, and how many are Motorola razors? You know, I can't really answer the first part of that question because my drawer at home looks like a Verizon store. I'm not proud of this. I'm a degenerate. I've got so many cell phones. It's not responsible. It's not wise. It's not smart. It's not environmentally sound. I've got so many cell phones, and I don't use them either anymore. I've got Blackberries in there. I've got flip phones. I've got maybe one Motorola Razr. God, I love that phone when it came out. That phone was so hot. Loved it. I'm going to say one. One Razr somewhere. And in terms of how many phones, I mean, literally dozens. Literally dozens. I don't hoard anything. I'm not a pack rat for anything except cell phones. I throw everything away, or I give it away, or I move it on. I try to travel lightly, except in that regard. So lots, Rex. Lots. Thanks for keeping it clean. Let's try a telephone call before I get to Alvy's week that was. We go to Russia. Russia. Damn it, Hawk. Really? Russia. I'll play along. It's Friday. We go to Russia. Oh, what do you know? Slava. Slava in Russia. Why not? Hey, Slava, what's going on?
It's actually pronounced Slava.
Sorry, my bad, Slava.
It sounds like Jeff and SoCal should come here to do some Russian training. I take him to the mountains and teach him how to behave like a real man. Maybe give that little boy some high-dose tea. You know, in Russia, we don't care about these reports. We just like to do our drugs and race the sled dog. We like many drugs, the coke, the heroin, you name it. Putin, he makes us poor, and it's the only way we get through. Do some meth or take the steroids, they tell us. They just keep pumping and pumping the needles into our ass. Go to Olympic and win gold medal, you be Russian hero.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Hey, Slava, were you going to hand the phone to Boris when you were done? I don't know who that was. I've got a few guesses, but I know who it wasn't. Slava. And I know where he was not calling from. Russia. Anyway, lots of calls, none of them good. Alvin, are you ready to roll? Or would you rather that I pad and fill and talk about something else?
Rack 'em, rack 'em, rack 'em, rack
'em. Hope your week is off to a great start. It is so good to have you here. What is up? I'm live in Southern California. Nice to have you on board. What's going on? How was your weekend? How y'all living? Let's get at this thing. Good show for you. Coming off a weekend where there's a lot to cover. We've got a bit of an issue in San Diego that I know some of you want to talk about. I will get to that a little bit later on. Let me start with the news of the day. College basketball had itself a weekend, right?
We've already seen some schools make those
judgment
calls.
The NCAA has to change. Go to an Olympic model. Let the athletes have endorsements. Let agents come out of the shadows. Any of it, all of it, but you can't do none of it.
San Diego is a third-rate city.
You know, something like this goes down 20 years ago, it's a real problem. And to be fair, it is a problem.
Upgrading my Sirius satellite radio.
I'm angry with the decision.
Oh, my God, I love this guy.
And I'm even more angry that it was handled the way that it was handled.
I am so sorry. You're not on
Lots of different ways to get the show.
Radio.com is the app.
We will be back on the air in that market. And when that is, I will let you know. Dan Marley, my guest. Corruption in college basketball.
You know, it's a mess. I don't think anybody's surprised. This has been going on forever.
Said you walked on the moon. When you didn't.
Geno Smith was
And I love
up.
That he says he's been, quote, studying this whole flat earth versus globe thing, end quote, like it's actually a thing. Great, G. Are you also tackling this gravity versus no gravity thing?
Now, I thank the Kansas City Chiefs for everything they did.
Can you next man up Marcus Peters? Chiefs fan. Reaction.
I mean, what are we going to do? Trade Kelsey next?
The guy was low hanging fruit.
If he was in Wichita, I'd give him a smack right in the mouth. Kick in the nuts.
Throw the name Kyle Schwarber into Twitter. I'm not saying the guy was fat, because I never call anybody fat, but I will tell you this. If there is an alarm for being fat, there should be a fat alarm in reverse. This guy earned it. David Wise joining us.
E-Tech and I crank my bindings down as far as they can go when it's the Olympics. Sometimes it's time to crank them all the way down and let them ride.
Don't follow for Anthony Davis.
So sometime before your kids go to bed tonight, take a few minutes with them and talk about Anthony Davis.
AD, what's good, baby?
We're talking to Tim Miles.
The one I liked is when the kid either dies or passes out on a dunk and the kid's calling 911 on his hand.
911, what is your emergency?
Next message.
Play it for me, Yumpy.
No, Dad. No, Dad.
Play it for me, Yumpy.
No, Dad. No, Dad.
Play it for me, Yumpy.
No, Dad. No, Dad.
And all the girls gonna say I'm pretty fly for a sound guy.
Laurent Duvernay-Tardif.
You put MD in the back of my jersey, even if it's only for a preseason game. I do it because I want to try to inspire as many people as possible.
That is absolutely amazing. If not for all the references to, like, Mistake by the Lake and The Last Word on Fox Sports Net and Channel 34, Grudge Mode, Drug Test. If you just listen to the beat and the hook, you think that thing dropped last week.
You got the real street cred now.
50 Cent would think it was down.
Bob Melvin. But have you ever seen a guy as electric as Ricky?
You know, there are a handful of guys you talk about as greatest players of all time.
The greatest of all time.
Certainly he's in that conversation.
Thank you.
Jeff's voice makes Dan in Denver sound like James Earl Jones.
Impressive. Red Vine expert Howard Beck.
I kid you not, it said it's National Licorice Week. Red Vine's for everybody.
Yeah, James doubling up the Clippers. Clean up on aisle three. Clean up on aisle three. Someone call someone.
Leslie Johnson's a good dude. He was a good dude. R.I.P. Thoughts and prayers to his family and loved ones. There was a murder here in L.A. last night.
People die every day.
You are not the father.
Most of you can barely raise your own kids. Stop telling Kraft how to raise his. Especially if it's not his.
Malcolm Butler, he was too busy impregnating Rob Kraft's wife.
Great take, Christian.
Email
Dane from the Chocolate Fountain. Moratorium on Dane Cook references. You're taking food off of my plate and putting it on his plate.
Ben Mezrich, Lesson Laguna, and Benny and a Whiskey talking about his cheese.
I want to hear from somebody who likes soup. Nothing like a bowl of hot soup on a winter night. Sweater up. None of that cold green soup. I don't like that crap. Drew Holiday.
Anthony does this all the time.
Hey,
he's the number one foreman in the league. I don't see anybody coming close to him.
And the 1090 is taking a giant
dump in your pants
on the Rome fans down here in San Diego.
A conflict free.
Were you really messing adult diapers in the camp?
Romy, what's happening, my friend?
I know camp has been hit by a virus this week, and you had more than a dozen guys out.
Romy, it's unbelievable, man, and I'm not dealing with it, fortunately.
Not yet, Skip.
I'm doing a lot of fist bumps. Tell Blackie I said hello.
Bud Black is my guest.
Jim, I'm here. I'm always proud to be on the show with you. You know what you've meant for talk radio over the years. Sorry from the start, man. It's good stuff.
You might find a map of Hawaii.
Who?
Billy Reid.
You have Clergyman Nation and Truckers Nation in your corner, buddy.
What about meth?
That is game over.
Emeka Okafor.
Not to be profiling.
Dirty John Gruden.
I'm not dead. Sirius Channel 213. XM Channel 201.
Thank you, Jim. Big fan of yours.
If you don't live here, don't surf here.
Have a great National Licorice Week.
Send me a picture of Blue.
Hey, yeah, I did send you one.
Well, send it again, man.
Someone that is the worst call I've ever heard.
Good night now.
Wow, I don't even know where to start. Alvy, I have a question for you. Can you get in front of a microphone? Is that possible right now? Do you have to switch with Hawk? This is going to be fine. This will be fine, dude. Don't freak out. So the two of these guys have switched places. Alvy, I have a question for you.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Alvy. Are you nervous?
Oh, what's up, man?
My question is this.
Dude, love what you've done with the place.
You love what I've done with the place.
What's
thanks,
up?
Alvy. Alvin, how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you produce that, edit that, and knock that thing out while you're sitting there and running the show? That is incredible. That was so tight. How do you do that?
Well, it's not very easy. It's a lot of hard work.
Talk to me,
you
Alvy.
Know, we work really hard.
What do you mean by that?
Here.
It's not very easy.
It just takes a lot of, it takes the whole week to do it. And all the right. thing is, I mean, it's like
right,
a
so
highlight
I'd like to take back some of the credit. If it took you a whole week to do that, I'm not as impressed.
Well, it's the week that was. So.
Good point. That's a good point. Burn, burn. Hey, Hawk, stop acting like the guy just like lit me on fire or something. Anyway, no, Alvy, that was brilliant. That was so good. What was that thing? The part, what did you pull from the podcast that you used? The Offspring. Hey, Hawk, can you play that back? This is great when these guys switch seats. James Kelly is here. Oh, now Alvin has to go back to the original chair to play what I want to talk to him about. And how much time do we have? Dude, this is not a good idea. We're down to 60 seconds.
Play it for me,
like, Alvin, what is this?
Now, dude.
Get it, Alvy.
60 seconds.
All right, so Alvy is not only singing it, he's explaining it, and he gave me a 60-second cue. And now Alvin's gone. He's got to pilot the ship. Wow. You should watch this on CBS Sports Network and see how that went down. Anyway, Alvy's got to get me out. I brought him in too late. Alvin, honestly, the reason I did that, I wanted to give you credit. That was absolutely amazing. If you want maximum performance from your car, you could use an Edge, Castrol Edge, Castrol Edge. With fluid titanium technology, 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. That, according to the Kurt Orban test in the 5W30 VisGrade. It helps fight friction. It delivers outstanding levels of performance. Castrol Edge, the titanium strong motor oil. Enormous interview day. We had Drew Holiday, Dave Roberts, Bud Black. My thanks to the XR4TI and you clones and Alvin. That was amazing week that was. See you Monday.